Okay, so we'll discuss what I know about the Rav's approach to Thanksgiving and his approach to Hanukkah. Okay, the Rav's approach to Thanksgiving, there's no question that the Rav had he recognized Thanksgiving to a certain degree. He celebrated it, whatever that means. In the 1950s, he would people in the shir, he gave shir early, so he would end shir on time to make it to the plane to get back to Boston for his for the Thanksgiving dinner. People in the shir in the 50s remember that. In the 1970s, Rav Korn Shlita just told me the same thing, similar story, changing the time of shir. So the Rav certainly had a more positive attitude towards Thanksgiving. Let's say Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuvas, he's very hesitant about whether to celebrate Thanksgiving and how to celebrate, whether one should celebrate, whether it's allowed. The Rav certainly had a more positive attitude. When I learned in Gush, and I heard Rav Lichtenstein Shlita talk about this, he spoke about Thanksgiving in a bit of a parva way. And after shir, I said, "But Rebbe, I heard the story about Rav Soloveitchik with shir and the whole thing." And he said, "That's correct." He said, "The Rav," here's the quote, "the Rav had a more keen," oh, what's that? The Rav was more keen on Thanksgiving than I am. That was his lashon. Okay. So what's the pshat? At the time we asked Rav Lichtenstein, this is what I remember from what he said to us. 2 points. Oh, really, all 3 points. And the 3 points are also in various speeches the Rav has given that were published as follows. Number one, America is a place, the United States is a place where we have freedom. Freedom to serve Hashem the way we want. Freedom to give our kids the education that we want. And especially anyone who lived through the Holocaust period. So just having that basic freedom, send your kids to schools and without the persecution. So to thank Hashem for giving us a Medina, which would become a place where we could have this freedom, especially after the Holocaust, here is what to thank Hashem about. That's one point. And the Rav went further, and this Rav Lichtenstein mentioned. He had a quote. He said, "The idea that you could be a doctor and carry a ksos under your arm was something which the Rav found very very positive." In other words, in America, the way the system is structured, with the freedom of education and with the good Torah education and the colleges at the same time, the possibility to become a doctor and at the same time be a real Talmud Chacham was something which the Rav thought was tremendous, and that was something which America gave us that opportunity. Here in the biography of the Rav that was published, so the Rav spoke about this was his dream for YU. He said the Rav gave a speech where in Germany, he said, the German approach produced a lot of very religious balabatim, but not that they were lamdanim. He said his goal for YU was rabbinic literature is studied in full depth, and our goal is to educate first-class rabbinical scholars. Simultaneously, we wish to give these Torah students secular academic ability as well. That combination of being able to get a good degree and having a higher degree, and at the same time be a full-fledged Talmud Chacham, was really his dream. The alumnus of the yeshiva, he meant of YU, whether he is the rabbi or a merchant, a lawyer, or a doctor, is also a Talmud Chacham, some to a lesser degree, some to a higher degree, but many are Talmid Chachamim. Here's what Abaron said. I mean that they are Talmid Chachamim in the sense that they are interested in the Ksos and the Rambam and Chedush Rav Chaim Halevi. So this was something else the Rav, in a sense, would celebrate on Thanksgiving. The ability that we have here, a chance in this country, Hashem gave us this country, a chance to produce people, one second. like that. One second, like that as well. And finally, another. It's a similar point. It's a similar point. These are all similar points. The idea that Torah can survive anywhere in the world. The Rav would like to talk about that. The idea that Torah can survive anywhere was something. Torah survives in America too. And on Thanksgiving, we're appreciating the fact that Hashem gave us this opportunity to have the Torah here in America as well. It says as follows. It is a movement, an idea, a challenge, a faith, and an assurance that Torah can blossom and flourish in the Western Hemisphere, close to the skyscrapers of New York. The Torah can be cultivated, taught, and propagated in all societies and eras, no matter how powerful and the opposition, etc. Okay. So this is my understanding of the Rav's approach to Thanksgiving. I don't think it was about watching the football game. And it's about, on that day, focusing on thanking Hashem for giving us the opportunities in America, which living in the United States provides for us. And in that sense, you know, that's a very religious Jewish concept. Okay. Now, freedom doesn't mean freedom to do whatever you want. Huna here quotes that freedom is the freedom to what? To make the right choices, to choose wisely. So it seems to me that if you want to celebrate Thanksgiving along the lines of the way the Rav celebrated or recognized Thanksgiving, so we should focus on this idea of using our freedom to serve Hashem well as religious Jews. And I want to make two comments here, also from the Rav about Chanukah, which I think fit exactly. The Rambam begins Hilchos Chanukah by saying that the Greek gives a brief history of Chanukah. And the Rav explained why he gave a history of Chanukah. And the Rambam says that the Greeks were pashtu yadam bimamonam uvivnoseihem. They attacked our daughters. Why does he mention the daughters? So the Rav explained the Greeks understood if you want to destroy Yahadus, you have to destroy the family. Because it's through the Kedusha in a Torah home, the Kedusha in the family, that the Masorah is maintained. So the Greeks knew that the way to destroy it was rip the girls out of their homes, destroy the Kedusha and the Tznius that is part of a Torah home. And that's why the Rambam emphasizes Bivnoseihem. Oh, so it makes sense to me that if we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, if one chooses to celebrate Thanksgiving the way the Rav did, so on Thanksgiving, what you focus on is more Kedusha in the home. This is the freedom that America allows the Jews in America to have. It allows you to live as Torah Jews, and if instead we choose to use the freedom to do things that take the Jews away from the Masorah, that doesn't make any sense. You have to have the... So Adarab, I think it works out very well that we should have the correct approach to Chanukah help those Americans who are celebrating Thanksgiving have the right approach to what it means to celebrate Thanksgiving. I think that's a correct shot. Similarly, also, there's a whole discussion of Pirsumei Nisa for non-Jews. Interesting question. Chanukah, the mitzvah is Pirsumei Nisa. There's a discussion in the poskim, does it apply to non-Jews as well? In other words, is part of the mitzvah to publicize the miracle for non-Jews or only for Jews? On Chanukah and on Purim and Pesach, the mitzvah is only publicized for the Jews. On Chanukah, what about the non-Jews? So Rav Soloveitchik held, it applies to the non-Jews as well. And he had two diukim. Number one, the Gemara says that you light the candles ad shtichu regel min hashuk, until everyone's gone from the marketplace. And when is that? When is that? Rashi says, I'm sorry, the Gemara says, until when? Until the Tarjumai are gone from the streets. Who are the Tarjumai? So Rashi says, the Tarjumai are what? A name of a nation, non-Jews. So the simple pshat of the Gemara is that you're lighting until the non-Jews in the streets are off the streets. You don't have to say that. Some say it means that the non-Jews are the ones who sold the wood to the Jews. So when the non-Jews were off the streets finishing to sell the wood, the Jews were also gone. But the Rav said the simple pshat is that Rashi tells you that they're a non-Jewish nation to tell you that it applies to non-Jews as well. Also, the Rav had a diuk in the Al Nisim. In the Al Nisim we say, L'cho asisa shem gadol v'kadosh be'olamecha, a kiddush Hashem in your world. And the Rav was Metaik Olamecha refers to the non-Jewish world as well. Why? Because later we say, U'le'amcha Yisrael asisa tshuva gadola. You mention Am Yisrael specifically. So since the next sentence mentions Amcha Yisrael, mashma, the previous sentence is for everyone. So those are the Rav's two diyukim. I did a little research. Rav Moshe questions whether or not Kesuvim Nisim applies for non-Jews. Rav Sternberg holds very strongly it doesn't apply. Mo'adim Uzmanim, Chelek Sheni, Simen Kuf Mem Aleph. And Rav Moshe's discussion, where Rav Moshe is thinks it's unlikely, is in Orach Chaim Chelek Dalet, Simen Kuf Hei, Os Zayin. However, I noticed that in guidelines, in question 81, in the footnote, they quote Rav Yashiv also holds, similar to the Rav, that Pesuvim Nisim applies regarding on Hanukkah regarding non-Jews as well. So, this is the Rav, it's Rav Yashiv, it's a machlokas in the poskim. So, assuming it does apply, so what's the pshat? What's the pshat of the Pesuvim Nisim for non-Jews on Hanukkah? Let me just find out that point. Okay. So, first of all, what's the difference between Pesach and Purim versus Hanukkah? How come Pesach and Purim, it does not apply to non-Jews? There's no source for that in Hanukkah, maybe it does. So here, the Rav gave a technical answer, al pi lumdus, and then an answer al pi drush, which we'll emphasize. So the technical answer is, and this is how the briskers think, on Purim and Pesach, you fulfill Pesumei Nisa through Talmud Torah. The Megillah is part of Tanakh. The mitzvah is to read the Megillah. And Kriyas Haksuvim, reading the Megillah, is the way Chazal had to do the mitzvah. We don't teach Torah to non-Jews. So therefore, that's not doesn't apply to non-Jews. Pesach is also Pesumei Nisa. This is some of the Rishonim say. The Magid Mishnah and the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, mentions that the Dalet Kos is Pesumei Nisa. The whole Haggadah is the mitzvah of Sipri, Yetzias Mitzrayim, is said through Talmud Torah. You call Psukim in Shmos, Psukim in Kisavo. The Rav had a whole thing, it was Dafka Limud Torah Shebal Peh. B'zat Hashem, that'll be in the Haggadah. That's a famous thing, a topic the Rav developed. So since the way you fulfill the mitzvah technically is through Talmud Torah, it's for sure not Shayach to non-Jews. But Chanukah, you fulfill by lighting the menorah. Therefore, it's Shayach that it applies to non-Jews. Oh, so what's the Pshat? What's the Omek HaDavar that we have? We're publicizing to the non-Jews the idea of Hanukkah. So here, the Ha'ari explains, quoting the Rav, very nice pshat, that basically it's a kiyum of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. For the Jewish people to show and to declare by their actions, we stick to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do. We stick to our Mesorah. That is a Kiddush Hashem. The Rav quoted from Rav Daniel HaBavli. Who says that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem includes Hallel U'Pesumei Nisa. Publicizing the miracle shows that we're Mekadesh Shem Sham. And the Rav quoted in the Rambam Mitzvah Tess that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, the idea that a person is Moser Nefesh, not to Avodah Zarah, so the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is to show our enemies, when we read the Washen, Mitzadin Kiddush Hashem, L'haros L'goy She'en Amami B'Avodah Zarah Shelo, to show we don't believe in it. That's good for the mitzvah, to show we don't believe in it. Oh. So the Rav said the following idea. When we light the Hanukkah candles and we're publicizing the miracle for the broader world as well, we are declaring we keep the mitzvos and we are not going to submit ourselves and to we're not going to lose our resolve to maintain our Avodas Hashem. And that is something that for the non-Jews to understand, that when it comes to spiritual matters, we're not going to give up. The way the Rav's quoted, Pesach and Purim were mostly physical. Well, that's obvious. You're going to fight for your physical survival. But Chanukah is about Ruchnius. So to show, I'm declaring by lighting the Chanukah candles that I'm not going to lose my resolve. I'm going to be an Obed Hashem and follow the Jewish traditions. That is part of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. I'll just read the language here as it's quoted in Harei Kedem. Hachivu larot l'gayim she'en anu nichna'im l'redifa sadas v'Hashem etzirenu miyadam. It's an aspect of Kiddush Hashem, and it makes sense since the on Chanukah the Yevanim wanted to do what? Lashkicham Torah Secha ulevim mechavus anecha, take us away from Avodas Hashem and away from the Torah. So we publicize, no, we're maintaining our Avodas Hashem, we're maintaining our commitment to the Torah. That's what we do on Chanukah. That's the Pesnisa as it applies to the non-Jewish world. A very beautiful idea. I just heard a few minutes ago from Rav Amos Shlita, a very nice pshat. There are many sources that the menorah that we have is a hemshech of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And the lashon that the Gemara has is that the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was edus l'chol ba'ei olam, that the Shechina Shorah, the miracle there, that's the lashon, l'chol ba'ei olam, including the non-Jewish world as well. So just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah was a declaration to the whole world that the Shechina is there, so too our lighting the menorah is a declaration to the non-Jewish world as well that the Shechina is with us, we do the mitzvot. And finally, this happens to be, there are many, many, many connections between Chanukah and Sukkot. If you want to see them, so they're all here in the book. So one of the many connections might be, and this is a whole discussion which I saw in Rav Karelenstein's Sefer, and also I discussed it with the Baruch Haim Rav Lev Shlita. Sukkot is one of the mitzvahs we do in public. It's very fascinating. The sukkah, everyone sees the sukkah. So it works out very nicely, that since Chanukah, the Sfarim say, is patterned after Sukkot, it works out that if you assume this Suminisa on Chanukah for the non-Jewish world as well, that's another parallel between Sukkot and Chanukah. It's like, you know, sort of a subtle parallel. And there's a whole discussion about how Sukkot is done in public. It is. Everyone sees that the Jews build their Sukkot. So how does this connect? So I think it connects exactly. Chanukah is supposed to be about making that declaration that we're not giving up our values, we're not giving up to when the non-Jews try to oppress us to not serve Hashem. Well, now we have freedom in America. So if we choose with the freedom to Rachmana Litzlan leave the Masorah, that's mamish the total opposite. Total opposite. We're taking the freedom of Thanksgiving and thanking Hashem for giving us that freedom, and then using the freedom to leave the Masorah and live like the non-Jews, which is literally the opposite of what Chanukah is supposed to be if your Super Shemitah applies for the non-Jewish world as well. So I think that you can put it together, appreciate having the freedom in the States, the freedom to have good Torah education, the freedom to be a doctor who's a Talmud Chacham at the same time with a Ksos, a serious Talmud Chacham, the freedom to show that the Torah can apply anywhere in the world, and appreciate that freedom and thank Hashem for the freedom by celebrating Chanukah the way you're supposed to, which is to show that we're different. Our homes are different. There's Kedusha in our homes, a lot of Kedusha. We want the Shechina in our homes, and to show that we're not going to assimilate, and we're not going to, again, it means we're not going to assimilate even when there's oppression. In America, there's no oppression. That's the whole point of Thanksgiving. We don't have the oppression. So to choose to leave, Rachmana Litzlan, goes completely against what Chanukah is and the way the Rav celebrated Thanksgiving as well. So I think that the combined celebration the combined whatever word you want to use, the coincidence that they fell out on the same day, we can learn from. Take the Rav's message about Thanksgiving and the Rav's ideas about Hanukkah and put them together so that we were inspired to serve Hashem even better and have more Torah in our homes, more Kedusha in our homes, more maintaining of this Mesorah in our homes based on this combination of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving. So two special ideas the Rav said about Hanukkah were, one, based on the Rambam, we see the special inyan of having more Kedusha in our homes on Hanukkah, bringing the Shekhinah more into our homes on Hanukkah. That's the opposite of what the Greeks were doing. The Greeks were trying to destroy Tznius. So we have to do the opposite and have more Kedusha in the homes. And two, the idea of Pursumei Nisa towards the non-Jewish world as well, based on the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, to show the non-Jewish world that we will not give up our beliefs and give up our way of life. Especially on Hanukkah, when the original attack against us was against our way of life. Therefore, we should be emphasizing these two things on Hanukkah. And the freedom in the United States allows us to do these things. And if we choose to use that freedom to make the opposite choices, that's a terrible, terrible mistake. This is a major challenge of Hanukkah, which I think it's always true, but it can be sharpened. It's a more acute challenge when we think about Hanukkah coming around the same time as Thanksgiving. Those that celebrate Thanksgiving with the idea that the Rav had in mind, the freedom, it's the freedom to choose to serve Hashem properly, which is a freedom we appreciate. Well, chas v'shalom, we shouldn't use that freedom to go in the opposite direction. Okay, we'll stop here.